Well, today we are celebrating our Harvest Festival service, but we're also continuing our series of the Bible overview. So we're going to be looking at that reading from Acts, we're going to be looking at that gospel reading as well, reminding ourselves what it means to be part of Jesus's family. And because I'm a proper vicar, we are going to have a talk with 3 points that all begin with the same letter. So there we go, something to look forward to. And those are, we're going to be looking at believing, we're going to be looking at baptism, and we're going to be looking at belonging. Now, I can remember, it was long before I came here, but I remember hearing about a woman who'd moved from the city to the countryside, and her house was fairly close to the church, and she'd not realised before she moved in that the bells were still rung. So twice a week, the bells would ring. Before the Sunday service, and then for an hour or two, sort of midweek, for a rehearsal, for a practice. And this really started to annoy her. And it got on her nerves so much. And she asked the church to stop ringing the bells, and they didn't. And she sort of, you know, went to the parish council, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do. These have been being run for 1,000 years, that sort of thing. And eventually she got so frustrated. I remember reading, she took an axe to the church door, broke in, and cut the bell ropes, which is a slightly extreme measure to take, and probably does not endear you to the local community that you've just moved into. But I know over the years as well, I've read sort of stories and articles about people who've moved to the countryside and then complained about the volume of tractors that drive past their lovely sort of, you know, rose cottage on the way to fields and back from fields, and complained about heavy farm machinery working through the night when it's harvest time, and, you know, disrupting their quiet rural idyll. The thing is that the countryside is very beautiful, so beautiful, but it is an industrial working landscape. To move there and to belong there means changing how we live and embracing the rural way of life. It was, you know, lovely the other week when Liz and I went to Rome for the weekend, and we embraced, you know, the Roman way of life. We sat outside cafes drinking coffee and Aperol in the sun and eating pizza and that sort of thing. And, you know, we crossed the road like Italians, which means taking your life in your hands. And you know, we had a really lovely time. But in return of sort of, you know, throwing ourselves into it all, we felt welcomed and we felt loved. And the church is the same. Christianity is the same. If you want to belong as a Christian, then first of all, you need to embrace Christianity. You need to believe. Non-believers are always wonderfully welcome, and we love having inquirers, we love having seekers, we love having people are asking questions amongst us. But at the end of the day, the only way to truly belong to the church is by believing, because it's Jesus's family that we're becoming part of. And that's what we hear in Acts 2. First of all, the people heard the truth about Jesus. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Brothers, I can tell you confidently, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that got a reaction. When the people heard it, they recognized their sin, and we read that they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Imagine a farmer driving his wonderful new prize herd towards a field full of sort of, you know, industrial poisonous waste and weeds and poisonous plants. It would be madness, wouldn't it? You wouldn't sort of bring them straight from the market and put them in there. You know, he'd need to recognize the folly of what he was doing, to turn around and to head to pastures that were green and pleasant, and were going to sustain and nourish his herd or his flock properly. And that's what we need to do. Likewise, Peter's instruction was to repent, to turn around from a way of life that led to destruction, and to head instead to a way of life that was pleasing to God, and not in rebellion against him, that recognized Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then to take action, be baptized, we'll look at that in a minute. But the first step to belonging to the church is to believe in the biblical church whom we worship, the biblical Jesus, rather, whom the church worships. Now, over the last 3 weeks of this series, We've been looking at Jesus, the promised Saviour. We've been looking at the fact that Jesus came to die and that Jesus rose again, that Jesus lives. So I'm not going to repeat all that now. If you want to sort of get familiar with that, if you missed out on it, go back to the website. You can listen to all of those talks again on the website. But today I want us to take us on to the second and the third B's. Because you see, in Acts 2, there is then an outward sign to their believing, the second B, which is to be baptized. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 records Peter's instruction: repent, turn away from rebellion against God, turn back to God through Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism is the outward sign that we're Christians. A sign which, you know, really, here follows on immediately from our decision to believe that Jesus died for us and rose again. See, baptism doesn't make us Christians of itself, any more than eating a sausage makes you a hot dog, or standing in a barn makes you a tractor. Which is good news for those of us that were in a barn last night having the harvest shindig for Charlton and Preston Capes. You know, we were there for other purposes. But you know, being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. But it does symbolize that we've chosen to belong to Jesus, that we've chosen to die to our old way of life and been raised with Jesus to a new life as God's rescued and redeemed people. But it's only symbolic. Let me give you an example. Think about all those wonderful programs that are set in the countryside. You know, Emmerdale or All Creatures Great and Small. Great sort of Sunday tea time viewing. You know, the wonderful thing about having everything on demand these days is that, you know, you can watch, even if it's not broadcast on a Sunday, you can save All Creatures Great and Small for Sunday tea time. And you can watch James, Harriet going off into the Yorkshire Dales to, you know, to a farm this week with a farmer that we've never seen before and we'll never see again. But that's kind of how these programs work, isn't it? But loads and loads of farmers, all the farmers. They look very convincing as farmers. And I'm sure that if, you know, they'd had to just sort of pop into the local town in between filming, they could have been mistaken for being a farmer. But they're not farmers, are they? They're actors, dressed like farmers. And baptism can be a little bit like that, you know. These look like the real deal, but you really wouldn't want to let them loose with a sheepdog or, you know, a crop sprayer. Baptism is kind of a costume, a uniform maybe, that's a better analogy. A badge, a sign that we belong to Jesus. But only the person themselves and God knows whether or not that uniform, that badge is genuine, or they're simply playing a part. Baptism alone doesn't make us a Christian. It has to follow belief and repentance. As Peter instructs, the important act in an individual's life is turning from rebellion against God and trusting instead in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. After that comes baptism as a significant but an outward demonstration of that belief. Then our third B, our final B, is belonging. If we then believe and profess outwardly that we believe, we belong to Jesus. And if we belong to Jesus, we belong to his family. It's great, it's fantastic. New believers aren't just sort of left to flounder. Oh, you're great, you're a Christian. Well, you're now. It's not like that. We're welcomed into the family of God, the assembly of believers, God's new society. Jesus' plan is not for any followers to believe in him quietly on their own, but to meet together, to worship together, to support each other, to pray with each other, together as the church. And I sometimes think we don't value that enough in the West. We don't value what church is as Christians. I read a little while ago about a young woman called Alam. I'm not sure if that's how her name's properly pronounced. So I apologise to her if I'm wrong. But she started to listen to radio broadcasts from a Christian radio broadcaster called Trans World Radio. And she decided to follow Jesus as her Lord and her Saviour. But Alam was only 27 when she made that decision. And she lives in the Arab world. So she has to listen secretly in her bedroom to Trans World Radio, TWR broadcasts. And then once a week, when she knows that she's all alone in the house, she's able to phone the TWR Arabic team and speak with them about her faith and what she's learned. They're the only Christians that she knows, because it's too dangerous for her to profess to anyone else that she's a follower of Jesus. That phone call is her church. And in the article I was reading, it went on to say this. One day she called and asked, "Can you please sing with me? I learned a song I heard on your broadcast, and I have no one with whom to praise the Lord." And so they worshipped the Lord together on the phone, hundreds of miles apart. Isn't that amazing? And yet in Britain, our devotion to God and our commitment to one another in the church can be so much weaker, can't it? So much less committed. It should shame us. I sometimes look at the church in the West and I think how disappointed our brothers and sisters in Christ, like Alam, would be if they knew how half-hearted we often are about our faith and our fellowship when they're desperate to worship with other Christians. Being part of the church means flourishing and growing and being what we're supposed to be as a follower of Christ and enabling one another to do that as well. It's being the crop that's well tended, the livestock that's nurtured. It's reaching and growing to maturity and fruitfulness. We don't have the time to go through the whole of Acts 2 tonight. It's kind of a sermon series in itself, really. But if we look through those verses, we'd find that being part of the Christian church meant devotion to God, devotion to fellowship with one another, devotion to prayer and to care for one another, to outreach, to teaching, to grace, to giving, to sacrifice, devotion to Christ, our King. It's all about loving God, and loving God's people, and loving God's world. It's not about becoming a closed-off, insular little club. It's not about becoming extreme, either. Back in the 17th century, there was a group called the Anabaptists. They looked like the Reformers, but they had much more extreme views. And they held very extreme ideas. Say, Acts chapter 2, verse 45... where it says, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. The Anabaptists argued that that meant that Christians couldn't own any property. Now, we've been going through the 39 articles. We're up to, what are we on, 31 now? In a few weeks' time, we'll be at 38, almost at the end. And actually, you'll kind of think back to this talk when you read that, because there, Cranmer counters their misuse of Scripture. He says this, contrary to what some Anabaptists claim, the wealth and possessions of Christians are not common as far as the right, title and possession of them is concerned. Nevertheless, everyone ought to give freely to the poor from what he possesses according to his means. If we can, we're to help those around us. It's great that our harvest gifts are going to go to the food bank. We need to be remembering to do that regularly. We don't just send our harvest gifts to the food bank. We send gifts week in, week out to the food bank as well. But we need to remember to do that. And I can be as guilty. I need a shopping list when I go shopping. I'm a little bit OCD and it helps save money. So I have my little list. And I've fallen out of the habit of this and I need to get back into it. Of putting on the shopping list, you know, toilet roll, washing up liquid, Bakewell tarts, food bank. Because if I put food bank on there, I remember deliberately, consciously to get something for the food bank. And if I can afford to get toilet roll, washing up liquid and Bakewell tarts, I can afford to get something for the food bank. Out of my plenty, I can help those who are going to be in need. And that's what we're called to do. We don't live in a communist state, thank goodness, where we don't own or possess anything that we have. But at the same time, we don't cling on to what we have when we can lovingly and graciously help our brothers and sisters in Christ and those in the wider world when they're in need. That's part of what the church is all about. Fundamentally, Christianity means believing in Jesus, the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again to eternal life. It means being baptized as an outward sign of repentance and belief, and then with Scripture as our foundation and the Holy Spirit as our helper, belonging to the family of God, which means that we're to act like a good, loving, caring, sensible, joyful, supportive family with boundaries and commitments. It just makes sense. Jesus gave us the church not for us to be nominally affiliated to, like the National Trust. I have my National Trust membership, but I'm kind of nominally affiliated to it. I go when it suits me. I go when the weather's nice. I go when I've got a free bit of time. I go when I fancy a cream tea, you know? But I don't go every week. I don't go back there. I don't give my all to, I don't support all the people all the time. The church is different. My mother used to have a fridge magnet that said, "Friends are the family you choose for yourself." I'm not quite sure what she's saying there. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or anyway. But I think we should have a big banner up that says, "Church is the family God chooses for you." Because it is. It's your family and your family and your family and your family and my family. And God says, if you want to be my child, my rescued and forgiven child, you need to be in my family. No ifs, no buts. You can't be a child of the Father unless you're part of his family. So let's thank God for the harvest, the arable and the livestock. But let's also thank God for the place where he nurtures us. Let's thank him for the roof that's been replaced. But let's thank him not just for the building. Let's thank him for the church, which is the assembly of believers, you and me together. And let's throw ourselves into church family life. Let's remember our sister in Christ, Alam, and the importance she puts on fellowship, even though it's just down the phone for her in secret. And let's be as committed as she is, whilst rejoicing in the freedom that we have to worship openly and to declare our faith openly when we meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus didn't give us the church as an option. God's people are called to believe, to be baptized, and to belong. How are we all doing with our three B's? That's the question for us this evening. Amen.